addiction. 1-800-665-0239. Some insurance plans help pay for the cost of treatment. Be sure to check your policy or call your agent to see if you're covered. It's not easy to talk about your addictions or those of someone you care about. It's hard for you to experience. It's hard for them to watch. The first step to ending addiction starts with one free, private, and no-obligation call. Addiction. There can be a day when the word addiction is just another word again. Your life is not over. There are things you still need to do. The first thing to do is call and end addiction. 1-800-665-0239. 1-800-665-0239. 1-800-665-0239.
President Trump again ripping Attorney General Jeff Sessions in a tweet today, asking why the AG wants a Justice Department Inspector General to investigate possible surveillance abuses. The president saying it will take forever, and he called it, quote, disgraceful, also asking, quote, isn't the Inspector General an Obama guy? Former Trump campaign chief Paul Manafort pleading not guilty to the latest charges against him. At a court hearing this morning, a trial date was set for September 17th.
We've decided not to sell these assault weapons any longer in any of our stores.
That's the CEO of Dick's Sporting Goods, one of the country's biggest sporting goods chains, Edward Stack, saying that after the shootings in Parkland, Florida 2 weeks ago today, that chain will no longer sell any type of gun to anyone under 21. It's also ending the sales of assault rifles and high-capacity magazines.
We felt we really needed to do something.
He spoke on ABC's Good Morning America, and this is USA Radio News.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders here to tell you about KFC's $10 chicken shares. They're perfect to share with those special people in your life. Choose from 6 pieces of my Kentucky Fried Chicken, 9 extra crispy tenders, 12 hot wings, or a bunch of popcorn nuggets. So grab your buddy, your cousin, your dad, your college roommate, or my friend Joan, and head to KFC. Are you there yet? Okay, good. Now get to sharing and eating. KFC's $10 chicken shares. It's finger-licking good.
At participating KFC's only. Hot wings not available at all locations. Prices may vary. Tax and substitutions extra.
More now on the passing of Billy Graham. As we told you moments ago, his body's now laying in honor in the U.S. Capitol Rotunda. We also learned that just one living U.S. president will be attending Graham's funeral on Friday. Reports are President Trump will be in attendance at the Charlotte service, but his predecessors will not. Former President Barack Obama said to be unable to attend the funeral, while two other former presidents, George W. Bush and Bill Clinton, did travel to Charlotte this week ahead of the service to pay their respects while Graham's body lay in repose. A spokesman for former President George H.W. Bush says that he and his wife Barbara are unable to travel these days, and a representative for former President Jimmy Carter says, quote, he regrets he cannot attend. The latest report on revised fourth quarter U.S. gross domestic product shows that the U.S. economy is growing a little more slowly, but still in line with expectations, expanding at a 2.5% annual rate for the last 3 months of 2017. That's just slightly lower than the previously reported 2.6%. Still the revised number in line with what economists anticipated. The report also cites the strongest consumer spending in 3 years. And heads up if you live in the South, as more storms are expected to hit parts of the South today that were pounded by heavy rain and tornadoes all weekend. About 40 rivers in the central U.S. still already at flood stage. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
The weather for Hunterdon County. It is mostly sunny today with a high near 59 expected. Tonight will be mostly cloudy with a low of 38. Tomorrow we will have rain. It'll be windy and mostly starting after 4 p.m. Clouds will be coming in with a high near 56, with rain likely. And then Thursday night, rain, low around 38 degrees. East winds will be around 15 to 19 miles an hour. Friday, rain, high near 42. It will be breezy with gusts from 11 to 20 miles an hour. Friday, rain showers also before 2 a.m. Saturday, chance of snow. And Sunday, mostly cloudy with a low, high around 32. It's currently 12:05.
When friends are not enough and you are struggling with depression, anxiety, or addictions, it's time to seek out help. Mental health is one of the most important building blocks to a healthy life. Tune into Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamura Roll, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altarolcounselor.net for more information about my practice. And please follow me on Counselor's Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamura Roll, your host for today's program. And I have a small practice here in Flemington. I am a licensed professional counselor. I've got my master's in counseling. I'm also nationally certified as a counselor. I have been in the field of counseling for about 33 years now. So I say I have a little bit of experience. And the first half of my experience as a counselor was working in the drug and alcohol field. I worked at a local program here in Flemington called the Good News Home for Women. And then I also worked at a halfway house called Crawford House, where I was their program director and eventually their executive director. My master's degree is in counseling with a certification in drug and alcohol counseling. So my topic today, and I'm putting that all out there, because my topic today is what is addiction. Now, we are in a time right now where there's a very strong push for making marijuana legal. We are also at a time right now where we have an opioid epidemic, and people are dying every day from the addiction to opioids. And I was thinking last night, and I very well may follow through on this, about creating some type of a public service announcement. Now, addiction, people don't plan to get addicted to drugs when they use, or alcohol, or cigarettes, or anything. That's not their goal. I can't imagine somebody saying, I can't wait until I can grow up and become an addict. Generally speaking, they believe they can control it. They can control how much, they can control how often, they can control what they do and the intensity and all of those things. However, what happens is drugs change the brain. I'm going to repeat that. Drugs change the brain. Now, it doesn't matter if it is an over-the-counter drug. It doesn't matter if it's a vitamin. It doesn't matter if it's a prescribed drug. It doesn't matter if it's an illegal drug. Drugs change the brain. I will even say this. Food changes the brain. Sugar changes the brain. Carbohydrates change the brain. Protein changes the brain. Gambling, sexting, okay, addicted to, and texting, video games. The World Health Organization just said that video disorder okay, is a disorder, being addicted to video games, shopping, exercising, even religion can become addictive in nature because it's something that changes the brain. Now, drugs specifically, okay, people who use them, in the beginning, they feel good. They work. They calm me down. They make me happy. They take off the edge. They remove the anxiety created by low self-esteem. I may even think that they just help me through life. And then I begin to realize that I need the drug just to feel normal. See, I've altered brain function. Now I need the drug just to feel normal. And so now I begin to seek the drug. And then taking the drug begins to cause more problems. Personal problems, problems within the family, problems in the work. Some people may even take higher doses of drugs. And these are signs of addiction. Now, addiction is a disease. Addiction is a long-lasting brain disorder. Addiction is a long-lasting brain disorder. It is a disease. We talk about it as a disease. We hear things on the news. It's a disease. We hear commercials, get into treatment. Addiction is a disease. We do not treat it as a disease. Are you going to laugh at someone with cerebral palsy because they look funny? They talk funny. They walk funny. We do it with somebody who's drunk. Do we say to the person who is struggling because of MS and they're walking slow and they're using a cane, do we say, you know, get yourself off the road, you idiot? Do we curse them? No, we don't. We do that for someone who is driving drunk. Do we say to the person who is struggling with emphysema, lung cancer, tracheotomy, oxygen, this person now has lung cancer, emphysema? Well, you know, if they didn't have that cigarette in the first place, they knew what they were getting. We don't even do that with people who are addicted to nicotine any longer. We have changed our attitude. We have not changed our attitude around addiction being a disease. I believe it is one of the most complicated diseases that we have because it is a disease and a disorder of the brain. A disorder of the brain. Now, what is a disease? The American Medical Association has a definition. A disease is chronic. Okay, so that means once you have the disease, chances are you're going to always have it, or at least be susceptible to it. So I may have been diagnosed with cancer. I have been going to cancer treatment. I have, you know, it's, you know, I started with a small lump, and now it's metastasized to other areas of my body. I'm going to treatment. It's getting better. I've had the cancer removed. I'm doing my chemo. I'm doing all of these things. And I go and they say, you know, there's no more cancer in your body. And 5 years from now, no cancer in your body. You're cancer free. Does it mean I'll never come back? No, it doesn't. Cancer will get progressively worse if untreated. Diabetes will get progressively worse if untreated. Addiction gets progressively worse if untreated. Any disease, MS, even treatments, even with treatment, these diseases can get worse. Addiction gets worse over time. So it may be that I start using drugs at the beginning, alcohol, socially. And I'm not saying that everybody who uses becomes addicted, but it's an awful high risk. So here's the thing. Start using socially, begin to feel good. Now I need it just to feel normal. Now I'm seeking it and it's causing problems. I'm having withdrawal symptoms. My tolerance level has gone up. My ability to function and interact with others has gone down. I do things like stealing and lying. These are symptoms of addiction. Manipulate. These are symptoms of addiction. And it's the progression of the disease. We can get treatment for addiction. Treatment. And even though we get treatment, the disease doesn't go away. Just like diabetes, I can seek treatment. But if I stop the treatment, the diabetes comes back and may come back even worse. I may have MS and I've slowed the progression down because of treatment, but ultimately it's still going to get worse. Or lupus. I may have a reoccurrence. Or cancer. Or any number of diseases that we have. We can seek treatment. The treatment is effective. Sometimes it can cure. However, you always have to stay a little bit on top of it, just in case. That is the progression. It has treatment. And if you don't get treatment for any of these diseases or disorders, you will die. Treatment prolongs life. Lack of treatment is fatal. If I'm diagnosed with cancer and I say I don't want treatment, they say, oh, you have 2 months. If I have diabetes, I don't want to do anything about it, I don't make any changes, I'm going to definitely shorten my life. If I'm an alcoholic or addict and I don't seek treatment, I may die of an overdose. I may die of a car accident. I may die in a fire. I may die falling down the stairs and breaking my neck. I may die because I'm in the process of robbing something and I get killed. I might die of a heart attack. I might die of throat cancer, colon cancer, stomach cancer, cirrhosis of the liver. Because I'm an alcoholic and or addict. Addiction is a disease. It is a long-lasting brain disorder. It changes how the brain works. It changes how the brain works. And I'm going to explain that in just a few moments. One of the things that is very apparent with addiction is that it has symptoms. And I've listed some of the symptoms. Makes you feel good. There's drug-seeking behavior. In other words, I look for it. I gain a tolerance. So I used to be where I'd have 3 beers and I would get a little, I'd feel tipsy, and now I have a 6-pack before that happens, and now it's 6-pack and 2 shots of vodka, and now it's vodka. My ability to handle the drug increases. My tolerance, I need more to feel high. I need more to feel calm. I need more to feel drunk. And then I've got behavior issues as a consequence of my addiction. An addiction can quickly take over a person's life. They are called mood altering. And I will say this, mood altering happens when we are gambling, when we're addicted to porn, when we're addicted to eating, when we're addicted to shopping, when we're addicted to gaming. These types of things, they're behaviors, but the change that happens in our brain is it stimulates and we become addicted to our own adrenaline. It's an illness, just like heart disease, just like cancer. But in our society, we still say addiction is not is about being weak. We still think that an addict is a bad person. Why? Because they lie and they steal and they manipulate and they break the law. That's a symptom. It doesn't matter your background. It sees no ethnicity. It knows no education level. It doesn't matter your economic background. Anyone can become an addict. Anyone. It doesn't matter. It can happen to anyone. And at any age, chances are the younger you are when you start using, the higher the risk. Also, the more you use when you were older, the higher the risk. So I'm going to take a small commercial break, and I'm going to come back and talk a little bit more about addiction. I'm Ruth Altamir Roll, your host for Counselor's Chat.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investors, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9800. You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms. When they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Well, good afternoon and welcome back to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamir Roll, your host for today's program, and I'm talking about addiction. Addiction in general. What is it and how do we become an addict? Well, addiction is a disorder of the brain. And now not everyone who uses drugs becomes an addict. Not everyone who eats becomes addicted to food or sugar. And not everyone who shops becomes addicted to shopping or gambling or alcohol. There really is no rule about how someone becomes addicted. And people react to drugs differently. Now, one of the original ideas was that people were struggling with an allergy. So they used to consider alcoholism an allergy, having an allergic reaction to alcohol. Well, in some ways I can understand that because, and I've used this analogy with some people and they kind of laugh at it, but that's okay. So if I eat peanuts, and I'm allergic to them, I have an allergic reaction. I get sick. Well, if I drink alcohol and I'm allergic to it, I get sick. Okay, the disorder of the brain. So not everybody who uses alcohol will become an addict or an alcoholic. And not everybody who smokes pot will become an addict. Not everyone who eats, it's going to become an addict. Not everyone who takes Xanax, not everyone who takes a prescribed opioid will become addicted to it. But our brains like to repeat things that it enjoys. And I want to think of our brain, we don't think of our brain as an organ, like our heart or our kidneys or our lungs, because it's the area in our body that does the thinking and the analyzing and the feeling. And it interprets information sent into it, but that's its job. And our brains want to repeat things that we enjoy, like eating a good meal. That's why sometimes we eat more dessert than we know we should, because we enjoy it. You know, if my husband and I go out to eat, generally speaking, we don't go to really expensive restaurants because it's not like we're going out, you know, if we're going out for a special, an anniversary or birthday, we'll go to a higher end restaurant. Otherwise, we go to something like Fridays or Ruby Tuesdays or Applebee's, those kinds of things. And generally speaking, the thing that we get are burgers because we enjoy them. That's what we get. You know, a little child often shouts again when they do something that makes them laugh. Makes us feel good again. It's a feel good. And our brain is the center of where that takes place. Using drugs and alcohol can excite parts of our brain that makes us feel good. But after a while, That feel-good part gets used to feeling good, and it's not sufficient. Okay? It's very similar to, I'm going to say, getting into a pool of cold water. At first, it's really cold, but if I stay in it, I acclimate to it. The water doesn't change. I change. So if I wanted to have the water feel cold again, I need to put colder water into it. And cold work, so my tolerance level is shifting. It's the natural way that our bodies work. And our brains. Soon, the brain and the body must have more to feel normal. And when you're not taking the drug, you feel sick and awful without it. Most of us have had some rudimentary information on biology. Or you can even Google how the brain works. The brain has neurons. These are nerve endings. They create chemicals called neurotransmitters, like dopamine and serotonin. These are the chemicals that are the language of the brain. An electrical impulse pushes it from one neurotransmitter to the next one through the electrical impulse. Pushes it. I know I've talked about it before. We create pathways in our brain that way. The more I think of something, the more I do something, it's the basis of cognitive behavioral therapy. The more I do it, the stronger the pathway. The more I do it, the stronger the pathway. I get better at it. The more I do sit-ups, the better I get at it, the more sit-ups I can do. I started off with doing barely 5, now I'm up to 50. Our brain works that way, sending the neurotransmitters. Now, when I flood my brain with alcohol, with drugs, with a stimulus, what I may be doing is turning off the production of the neurotransmitter. So my brain is not making the dopamine, or the drug is forcing the dopamine to flood my brain. It's flooding my brain with dopamine. That's a feel good. Generally related to cocaine, feel good. But when I take the drug away, my brain is depleted of the dopamine. My brain is no longer producing the dopamine. I feel awful. That's how addiction works. And it doesn't matter what drug it is. If it is something that's going to alter the mood, if it's a mood altering drug, it changes the way the brain works. That's why an alcoholic or an addict can't do something like take Benadryl. It alters the mood. Makes you a little groggy. Makes you sleepy. Addicts have to read. You know, gee, I can't use mouthwash with alcohol. I need to use imitation vanilla. No Bailey's creamer. No O'Doul's beer. No vodka and penne sauce. Vodka sauce and penne, right. Because the pathway doesn't necessarily disappear. It may atrophy. I have known people who have relapsed because they were taking cold medicine. A lot of times people will say, well, the problem, you see, is that I'm drinking vodka, so I'm going to switch it up. I'm going to drink scotch. I don't like it, but... And eventually go back to vodka anyway. Now, what makes someone likely to be addicted to drugs and alcohol? Well, part of it is your biology. Like I said, it's kind of like an allergy. Because everybody's bodies react differently to different drugs. You may go to the doctor and get a prescription. I happen to be very sensitive to medication and I can't take anything with ibuprofen. I can't take Aleve. I'm allergic to it. Many people in the population take it. Their bodies react differently to it than mine. Now, some people can use one time and feel like they want more and become addicted quickly. Other people hate how it feels and never take it again. I don't like that feeling. Because I don't like it, I'm not going to use. Because I don't like it, I'm not going to drink. Other people really like it. And they want more. There may be a genetic predisposition. So, if my grandfather was an alcoholic, and my uncle was an alcoholic, and my mom was an alcoholic, and I may have that genetic predisposition towards addiction. You know, we look at, we go to the doctor, I want to know family history. Yeah, well, my grandmother was diabetic, my father was diabetic, three of my aunts are diabetic. They want to know that information. Genetically speaking, I have a very high chance of becoming diabetic in my life. I am predisposed to that disease. It's the same thing for people who struggle with addiction. And here's the thing that's interesting. Oftentimes what we do is we say, well, was your grandfather, anybody in your family alcoholic or addicted? Yes. No? Okay. What about an eating disorder? Oh, man, was my grandmother fat? Oh. So you think maybe your grandmother may have had an eating problem. Oh, and my grandfather, he loved to gamble. And my dad is a workaholic. And my mom, every chance she gets, she's shopping. And my brother, he's at the gym all the time. You should see his muscles. As a matter of fact, he's beginning to take steroids. So family dynamics is important because we don't necessarily look at those things as addictive in nature. They still stem from the way the brain functions. In addition, depending upon when you start using, the younger you are, your livers are still growing, your brain is still growing, your brain continues to grow until you're about 23. using drugs when you're young increases your chance of becoming an addict when you get older. I have had many parents bringing their kids into my office. He's 15. I found some paraphernalia. He's smoking pot. And by the time they're 20, they're in rehab. They're smoking pot. They're drinking alcohol. They're taking Xanax or using harder drugs. They have progressed and have altered their brain and changed their bodies as a consequence. And it's really hard for someone who is now 20 to say, but when I turn 21, that means I'm not going to celebrate with alcohol? That's right. Because there's now a disease going on. And again, I want to again emphasize that we talk about it as a disease, but we do not treat it as a disease. We laugh at the drunk. Look how silly. We laugh at the addict on Facebook. Isn't that funny? Or we curse at them, that stupid idiot. They should know better. You mean that person who now has emphysema? Well, they asked for it. Oh, that person with a heart attack. Well, he was 30 pounds overweight. Was asking for it. Is there no compassion? I saw something on Facebook yesterday. Somebody was feeding their cat marijuana. That poor animal was awful. That's cruelty. Cruelty to animals? Isn't that cruelty to humans? People who use drugs and alcohol often have other mental health problems, such as depression, anxiety, attention deficit issue. In addition, because using drugs and alcohol and addictive behaviors change your mood and alter the way your brain functions, alters the way you behave, and alters your self-esteem, and alters your desire to achieve things in your life other than drug-seeking behaviors. You end up hanging around other people who use drugs. There's trouble in school. There's trouble at work. You have trouble making friends and or keeping friends, or you change your friends. You lose your ambition. You lose your will to succeed at anything else besides copying the drug. Peer pressure can get someone to use. Anger, low self-esteem. All of these things play a role. If I've grown up in a family where I have an alcoholic dad or an alcoholic mom, not only is my predisposition towards addiction greater, but the fact that I find that smoking a joint here or there helps ease some of the stress and tension, I'm set up in some ways. And so it's really important that we as a society really look at this issue and treat it as a disease. with all of the same can't come up with the word that we treat other diseases. Emphasis. Drug use and mental health problems often go hand in hand. They go hand in hand. Drug use hurts the brain and hurts the body and sometimes hurts it forever. Pregnant mothers who use drugs hurt their unborn children. There is a link between drug use and HIV/AIDS. I'm more likely, if I'm feeling sick and I need my fix, okay, we call it a fix. I've worked with heroin addicts who call it their medicine. I need my medicine to feel better. I don't care if you used that needle. I don't care. And that doesn't mean I'm promoting clean needles. I'm just saying that that's part of how it gets transmitted. I'm staying away from promoting or not promoting clean needles. Clean needles probably does save lives, but it doesn't stop addiction. I'm a little old school because I've been doing this for so long. I don't believe that you can. I've had clients say, oh, can you teach me how to drink? You know, is that something you could do? No. Well, you know, yes, we have modified. Yes, like we can modify your ability to drink. No. I really don't believe that. And I think it's risky. I think it's risky behavior. Drug use can cause problems such as fighting and violence inside the home and outside the home. It causes money problems, trouble at school, trouble at work, loss of job, broken relationships, child abuse, car accidents, train accidents, bus accidents, walking accidents, arrests, jail time. I personally believe, you know, we say we need to make pot legal because we are filling our prisons with people who are only smoking pot. The number of people who have gotten into recovery because of our drug courts is immense. And to say that making marijuana legal is going to help that problem, it's not. It's going to actually increase death on the road. It's going to increase people's tolerance. It's going to increase crime. It's going to increase all of these things. It's going to maybe not fighting and violence so much, because one of the things that marijuana does is it, you know, kind of mellows you out. But you'll still lose your job or have trouble at school or have trouble in your relationship. You might not abuse your child, but you might neglect your child. You're definitely going to have problems with driving. I firmly believe that if you are incarcerated because of drug use, paraphernalia, whatever it is, that you don't necessarily then go to a rehab. You do go to jail, but jail's focus. Okay, this jail has 4 floors. This person is in here because they're a hardened criminal and they have nothing to do with drugs in their life. They're just a hardened criminal. But this floor and this floor are all drug addicts and alcoholics. These people get treatment while they're in jail. That jail is treatment. They're already there. They should have classes, education, group therapy, individual counseling. Get them off. Get them off of the drugs. Give them something to work towards. That jail time for people who are in jail because of drugs and alcohol should have treatment while in prison. Well, I need to take another commercial break, and I will be back in a few moments to talk about addiction. And my name is Ruth Altamura Roll. I am your host for Counselor's Chat.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Well, good afternoon and welcome back to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamura Roll, your host for today's program. I have a small practice here in town. I am a licensed professional counselor and have been in the field of counseling for about 33 years. I have a very strong background in addiction treatment and recovery. I also work with people struggling with depression and anxiety, post-traumatic stress, eating disorders, compulsive, obsessive-compulsive disorders, grief and loss, anger management, and I do couples counseling. So that's just some of the work that I do. And around the addiction area, it's not only people who are in treatment or in need of treatment, it's also people where there are families that are struggling with addiction in their family, codependency, adult children of alcoholics and dysfunction. And I also do interventions if anyone is ever interested in that aspect of getting someone that they love into treatment. So why does a person need treatment? that just not stop on their own? Don't they care for their family or their work or their community? I mean, aren't they interested in their health? Don't they want to do things that they used to enjoy, like hobbies and